friends.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Brittany. Together we are two sisters who are here to help you learn some tips and tricks to help navigate this crazy journey called life.
We bring you the perspective of a licensed mental health counselor, aka therapist and a new mother.
And a slightly eccentric mom of two. When you combine us as sisters, we like to consider ourselves as quite the dynamic duo. So join us as we talk about all life has to offer.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and hit that follow, like, or subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts for updates. You can also see all of our expressions and interactions posted on YouTube channel under Uhane Counseling.
If you're liking what you hear, leave us a 5-star review. It helps us know what content you like and spreads the love to others to get resources and help for their mental health. Okay, Tay, today we're talking about nature therapy.
Nature's pretty neat.
I like nature. I think you said that in the last one.
I did, and I love nature.
I agree. So let's talk about why we like nature. What are some of the benefits it brings to our mental health?
Yeah, that's funny. Is I discovered this really big for me back in grad school, and I knew I liked it a lot. I would go hiking 2 or 3 times a week, and I was like always walking my dog outside. Like nature was really big for me to make it through grad school. I don't think I could have done it without it, but I didn't like. Know the whole science behind it. And now I do. And I'm like, this all makes sense. Like my little guy was freaking out today. And guess where we went? Swinging outside.
Yep. We're outside. Yep. That's babies. That is always a thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Our babies, especially our baby boys, man, they just reset immediately. He just goes like zones out and is so happy outside. So
screaming bloody murder. And then it's just like a
immediate. Oh. And some of it's the temperature change. And I mean, there's a whole thing to it, but
there's a whole things, but yeah,
all things.
So tell us the benefits as adults. We're not crying babies most of the time, but what are our benefits?
All right. So first one, in 2021, there was a survey done in Israel during pandemic, right? COVID years, of 776 adults, very specific number, by the way, guys, like not rounded at all to 776.
1776.
I know.
So, okay. New York City. Sorry, Hamilton.
Yeah, you're stuck with the last one. They found that viewing nature from windows, living near nature and being outdoors was associated with high levels of self-reported positive emotions. Participants that were able to view nature from their windows also reported feeling happier. On top of that, in the U.S., 558 adults were also surveyed, and they that had greater access to nature reported higher levels of well-being overall in their life. So from two different countries, two different nature surroundings, they noticed that overall, their life and stress was less. It was better overall and less stress. So stress reduction from nature is huge. Lower cortisol levels are like given, reduced flight or fight situation. It promotes relaxation and it leads to like mental well-being. So when we say like it does like de-stress our kids, it literally does de-stress your kids. There's temperature change involved. There's the sounds from the nature, which there's studies on that looking at like the sounds are a part of our eco. Like if you do, what's that? Eco psychology, like the environment, it's how we like Darwin's theory, basically saying that the way that we were developed, evolutionary psychology is what it's called. That's what it is. Of how we've changed as a people. We were meant to kind of like live closer to nature and be closer to nature. And that is where our body will go back to kind of reset. And nature does mirror a lot of the base things, like neonatal things, connections to mothers, all those like things are resembled very well in a nature environment. So high correlations there to help reset our body on a neuro level.
Yeah. From like infant life through adult life. It's amazing that it will do this across the board. It's just for humanity.
Very across. And I can testify this was lived for me in grad school, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So thought that was interesting. Second one is mood enhancement. So Denmark did a study between 1985 and 2003 of over 900,000 residents. So this was not a tiny study, guys. This was a long, like when you find these are significant. This was published, I think, in 2019. So this is a long-term study, longitudinal, with a wide range of people and various decades with various different technologies and everything else introduced, right?
So that 1985 is big. To 2003. I mean, that's a big
significant.
That's basically like when I was born through high school.
And think of all the technology changes introduced and like everything else, right? So this study is huge. They found children who lived in neighborhoods with more green space had a reduced risk of psychiatric disorders later in life, including depression, mood disorders, which are like anxiety, bipolar, anything that affects like your overall mood expression. So like feelings, kind of those big arching ones, schizophrenia, eating disorder, and substance use disorder. So people who lived with more just greenery around them had less likelihood of developing huge common mental health disorders than those who didn't. For those with the lowest level of green space exposure during childhood, the risk of developing these things was 55% higher than those who grew up with a lot of greenery.
That is nuts. That is like an astounding statistic.
That's half, guys. That's over half, like 55%. Yeah. Like, so having green does matter. that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was from a significant amount of time. So fascinating. Another study done in 2015 found that it compared people who walked in a high traffic urban setting, people who walked for 90 minutes in the nature area. So they compared the two, right? And they noticed that in the nature area showed a decreased activity in a region of the brain associated with depression. So you can walk in the city or you can walk in nature. If you walked in nature, your area of your brain that's stimulated for depression, where it shows that you're like have that disorder or mood disorder more present or those feelings, was significantly lower.
That's crazy too. And I can totally understand this. Like, I don't personally have depression, but like knowing when I'm outside, just the overall, like we had just talked about, like the cortisol and stuff, you just feel happier. Like,
but like there's vitamin D out there. There's like, you know, I really do think some of these things, I'm not an evolutionary psychologist. However, there are some undeniable bio things associated with our bodies that's just valid. Like, and biologically, we were made to be closer to nature, but we separated it so much from ourselves that I think we can't always reconnect to it. And because we have such, it's totally like, Koa's my perfect example of this. Koa was made to be outside. Koa's perfect, period. Koa is a dog, right? Beautiful dog. Koa loves hiking. Koa loves outside. We took him camping and homeboy spent the whole time camping trying to get into the daggum truck to go home. And the minute I opened the tent, he ran inside like, save me, sweet baby Jesus. I'm inside finally. And then he bounced on all of our pillows like, bro, what? And it's so funny because I'm like, dude, you are so happy when you're outside and yet you have such a cushy life inside. You don't know how to be outside more. And I'm like, man, I'm a really bad mommy to you. But
but he had his little fun and then he like took that with him when he went into the little, you know, house tent.
Exactly. But I feel like it was funny because when I was watching his behavior, I'm like, that's me too, bud. Like at some point I need the luxuries of my life. But I think we've built as a society such a separation from it. Some societies still have like you look at Japanese culture, they really incorporate nature into their whole lifestyle and their living situation. Like that is a part of like Taoism and all these other beliefs that they have. Like nature is a big one, Shinto. And that's where you can see we've separated that a little bit. It's become more.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So it's huge for mood enhancement. Exposure to nature has like elevated mood, increased feelings of happiness, and reduced symptoms of anxiety and depression. Clearly.
Yeah. Clearly. Amen. Mic drop.
Boom.
Yeah. Episode.
That's it. Do you want to do the next one?
Sure. Being outside in nature increases physical activity. Like, duh. No, engaging in outdoor activities such as hiking, biking, or gardening encourages physical movement, which is beneficial for both your physical and mental health.
I mean, like, what else are you going to do outside? You know, you got to move.
Yeah, you have to move. So, and that's cool.
I mean, I don't just like sit there. I'm trying to think, like, my husband tried to get me to sit on the beach. I lose my mind.
Well, like some people are happy. Like we have friends who will just like to lay on the beach and just suntan. And for them, that is like totally recharging for them.
My husband will totally be fine with that. And I lose it after about
three. Your husband would turn into a tomato like within like a second.
Oh, no. Shadow Seeker sits on the beach, but he sits underneath a bunch of shadows and shade. Yeah. And then he hides there with his Kindle. And then he's like, okay, now it's time to go in the water.
Yeah. Because I'm like, your husband. But even then. So like he's happy to go lay there and like
he still chill needs to move.
But then he still goes and moves and then he's like out there jumping waves and throwing footballs and whatever.
Yeah,
so Like, even on the Stark side. Okay, you got the next one?
You can go.
I was just going to read it. Okay. Being out in nature gives us a connection to the present moment. Nature encourages mindfulness and presence, allowing individuals to focus on the sights, sounds, and sensations of the environment, which can reduce rumination and promote mental clarity.
Yes. So another study. Studies, guys. We like studies.
Yeah. Well, it proves that this is all true.
Like, yes, because I feel like on some of these, if I'm just going to come on here and claim it, like, y'all are going to be like, she just is doing the stuff she likes. No, I'm really doing the stuff that is valid.
Like, yes, you like it, but you like it because there's also a reason now.
Yeah, there's a study that green spaces near schools promote cognitive development in children, meaning like your brain and your intelligence, it promotes your kids' ability to learn and to gain neural pathways, meaning like more smarts in their brain to get wiser and learn their stuff. And then doing it near their children's home promotes self-control behaviors. Like, what?
That's cool.
Which I totally can see, like, little kids are way less crazy outside than inside. And I don't know why, but it's true. Like, it is just true. They still do crazy things, but I feel like outside, it's just kind of like, yeah, go do it. And then they do it and then they come back.
Yeah, I think it's just because, like, expectations are different outside versus inside. Like, they're just as crazy outside. But I think,
yeah, I mean, because maybe behaviors break the house. You know what I mean? Know. Like, I don't know.
And I wonder if part of that, what they're trying to say in that study, is that it promotes their self-control behaviors because, like, they're able to go and explore outside and allow themselves to go back to kind of like their, like, natural human roots. Like, if we go back to kind of Darwinism. Mm-hmm. And so they're able to kind of like experience life as it was meant to be. And then they can come in with what they've learned outside and have more self-control in the house.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe that's, or it gives them an outlet. I don't know. Just from stuff that I've noticed with the kids, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways you can go down that one. I'd have to research that one deeper to see why, but I liked the concept of, you know, I have noticed like hiking and other activities does create, like, Koa was trained as a puppy to go hiking with me, like at the appropriate time for his development. With his little joints and stuff, but he would go on hikes with me regularly. And people are always like, your dog is so well behaved. And I'd be like, you see him on a hike, homeboy is behaved, but homeboy also knows that he can run. And then if you see somebody, like, he'll run super fast, jog everywhere, go grab sticks, eat them. And then if he sees somebody coming down the trail, he runs back to me and walks in between me and my partner, or like whoever I'm hiking with. And that's right. How he was trained. Right. And I think there's like some of that co-regulation of, you know, your boundaries within this area, but you can let loose. So maybe that's it.
I don't know. But either way, I definitely like encourages mindfulness and presence and just like,
yeah,
connecting with your present moment. I could definitely see that.
Yeah. Next one is vitamin D synthesis. So vitamin D makes us happy. Vitamin D is good for us. We need it up here in Washington. We tend to have a little bit of a lack for that at times. So yep. Being outdoors helps you with that and regulating mood and reduces the risk of depression. So yay, vitamin D.
Yay.
It also helps with the restoration of attention. So being outside, you're kind of separate from all these. If you think about it, inside, we have a lot of stimuli around us that's kind of like, I mean, it is all man-made. Like, we have TV, music, all these things. And when you're outside, you really only have nature stimuli. Like, you only have one thing kind of pulling at you. And that is a big thing for giving your brain rest and recovery from mental fatigue. Like, it helps improve concentration and attention because, again, it's like the vacation episode. If you didn't like listen to that, go back and listen to that. Like, the minute you can give yourself a break from being overwhelmed is a minute that it helps. So
yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting hiccups now.
No, you're good.
And then let's see. Recent science shows that nature can help rest and restore neural pathways that underline our focus and attention. So it's just interesting. You want to do the next one?
Sure. Social connection. Nature can serve as a backdrop for social interactions, fostering connections with others and strengthening relationships, which are important for mental health. So true. It's such an easy thing just to go like on a hike with a friend, or like, let's go down to the beach, or let's whatever it may be. And then you're able to just really connect with these people because you're, like we said in the last one, the restoration of attention. If you take out all of those man-made distractions, then you can actually really connect with those who you care about. So
yeah. And I mean, it gives you an activity that you don't have to plan. You don't have to host. You don't have to do anything extra over. You're literally just going in and saying, let's go hike together. And it's a pre-made activity that's easy, you know?
Yeah.
Or going to sit on the beach or whatever. Physical improvements to health. You're moving. You're outside. You're getting your totally. Vitamin D. You're lowering your cortisol levels. You're lowering your
metabolic system. Your body will be very happy.
Yeah. I thought this one was really interesting, this last one, though. And I saw it in a lot of my research. Self-confidence and self-esteem are promoted by being outside. And I had seen a lot of videos when I was researching how babies do with dogs. And they correlated the two together of dogs in nature create, like if you introduce those early to your baby, it creates a very confident, risk-averse personality. Because you're showing them that these outside things that they cannot control are working with them, and they don't have to be afraid of things that they can't control. They can learn to navigate around them and be a part of them. And I think nature is a big one that you can't plan on, you can't control. You just kind of have to experience. Dogs are the same thing. So like together it creates that I have the it promotes that feeling that I have the capability to navigate and perform at whatever capacity I need to do, and I can overcome whatever. Like you see these little kids like climbing rocks and climbing over like coral or not coral, like the, you know, the beach rocks and all these things.
Yeah. The lava rocks. Lava
stone. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that promotes a sense of I can do things that are hard and be safe still. And if I'm not, then I can navigate around that. And I thought that was
There, I have a funny story with that. Like, so during the pandemic, a close friend and I, we would take our kids out hiking all the time. And so one of her sons, he's Adeline's age, and he refused to let people take his pictures. Like, he was like, nobody take my picture, nobody take my picture. But as soon as he was outside, he would like, whether it was just picking up a giant stick or climbing up a trunk or like running really fast on a trail, he'd be like, Brittany, take my picture, take my picture. So we have so many pictures of him outside. Because that's where he felt the most confident. That was where his self-esteem was really shining. In the house, there's like any picture we have of him is like he's totally frowning and just looks like a grouch. Mm-hmm. But then outside, he's like, let me show you my muscles. And I'm like king of the hill. And it's super cool just to see that from – because he was probably like, I think like 9, 10 around that time. Mm-hmm. And totally seeing this in there. Being outside totally increases kids' confidence and self-esteem. And I love
that. And I think about it too, though, when I was actively outside more and intentionally like hiking and all these things, I did have a greater sense of like, I am capable of doing a lot of things. Like I would do this really hard hike and then I'd be like, I can do whatever is required of me. Like I made it up a mountain. I'm fine. Like, you know, like, and they do correlate together. When you challenge yourself physically and see that you can overcome these things and navigate it, you do think you have a better control of life itself of I can respond well when I don't have control.
Yeah. Or just that whole resiliency thing too of like, it was like, I remember for me, natural childbirth was one of those things that really made me resilient, right? Like, okay, I did that. I can do anything, right? Mm-hmm. So like, if we equate that to, if I can climb that mountain, I can do anything. If I can go up this hill, I can do anything. If I can, you know, whatever, like I remember taking Anson to the beach a couple weeks ago and he was trying to like, up in Washington, our beaches are really rocky and have a ton of like really big log driftwoods. If you haven't been to one of the beaches, and he was like walking across all these logs and so proud. And he's like, Mom, I could do what he equated it to some other hard thing. You know, like I could do that. I just walked over that log. Like, yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was interesting. Cause my husband and I will like swap all these videos that we find all the time on, you know, Instagram and the internet and stuff. And there was one that you sent me that really stuck with me of, instead of telling your kids to be safe and be careful, say like, watch your step. You got this, but just like notice that you got to step over this or whatever, like pointing out. So it's that empowerment thing when you're out with them, giving them that moment to not like try and like pull in and like just hot like shelter them, but to let them explore, but give them that empowerment verbiage. And I thought that was really interesting too, because I feel like that's what nature does, where it's like,
totally
respect the wild, respect the outside, but also enjoy it at the same time. You know what I mean? Like we were hiking up the ice caves a couple weeks ago, and it was funny because I was like, Metzen, are there avalanches right now? You know, and I was freaking out, and he's like, hey, you need to calm down. We need to be aware that there could be avalanches, but the odds of it, and then you need to respect the zones that it's in, but we're not in that zone. And that's where I thought it was interesting. Like it's about acknowledging and respecting what your capabilities are, but don't overcome compensate. Yeah. I don't know what you're saying. Yeah. So it builds that confidence. Anyways.
So let's talk a little bit about nature therapy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is becoming more popular. I think people are hearing about this more of like where therapy is outdoors more than like in a formalized room, like a Freudian room, you know, where you lay on the couch and say, what are your feelings? My favorite form of therapy are like my walk and talk therapies where we like go on a walk and we're talking. So we'll take Koa for a walk. We're outside talking and just doing a normal therapy session. Cause I mean, my skill can go anywhere, right? Like we're talking. It's not like I can't do what we usually do for most things. Some things I can't, but 90% of what I do, we can do somewhere else. So that's been really fun. So you can do things that like create an environment that's a little different that helps them to connect to their surroundings and their body. Cause nature is a really good one for somatic work. It promotes relaxation, stress reduction and overall health by being out in nature. So helping people turn off that fight or flight system, being outside can really be useful. So I talked about like nature walks or sometimes some of the things we use. Outdoor activities. In the summertime, I like to get like programs running for my social skills. Like this summer, we're probably going to do paddle boarding. We'll probably do some more hiking and like things that are just more outside based for them. Mm-hmm. So that's a fun one. There's horticulture therapy. I did not even think about this one. Working with plants and gardens.
Yeah.
I know I'm terrible. My husband banned me from getting more plants, guys. So that are alive because I killed them.
I think they do that in like prisons and stuff now too.
I think so. Yeah.
Therapy. I think I've read a few things about that. Like
that's so cool because it improves mood, reduces stress, and enhances your cognitive function. I'm like, way to go, plants. Probably makes you feel connected to something too because it's alive.
And I think you're
caring for it, so you have some compassion and empathy, even though it's not like a creature. Plants are still alive. I feel bad whenever I kill one.
I do too. I just threw away two today.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
My basil's looking like it's going to go. Animal assisted therapy. You all know that this is my love. Sign me up. So horses are a big one. Equine therapy, therapy dogs are a big one too. I mean, there's a lot of other ones like petting zoos and other places, but the two that are used most common are dogs and horses. They can like emotionally meet those needs usually for people. Wilderness therapy, guys. I used to work in a treatment program that we got all the kids from wilderness therapy at. Oh, all the teenage boys. Do you remember that?
Yes. How could I forget it? Man.
I had really good stories from their wilderness therapy. This is an immersive experience in the wilderness setting, often involving group activities, adventure challenges, reflections, and aimed at personal growth and discovery. Wilderness therapy terrified me, guys.
But I think there's different levels of this.
Oh, like, no, it does.
I remember watching some movie with like Kimmy Schmidt in it. I don't remember the real actor's name, but actress, but you know, Kimmy Schmidt. And like where she was in the woods, like discovering herself. I want to say it was after a divorce or something. And it really worked. Like she totally kind of discovered some things about herself. So I think there's different levels. Like you don't have to be like in holes, like out in wilderness therapy, but you know.
The one that I experienced was teenage boys going there because they were court mandated. So very different style, you know, but I have heard amazing things about doing like, it's almost like retreats, like wilderness retreats or like this experience that's facilitated of connecting to yourself, personal growth, reflection, those things. And
did you ever read Wild?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. And they made a movie with, I think Reese Witherspoon was in it. But she was really having a hard time. So she didn't go on an official thing, but she immersed herself like she, what was the name of the trail? She was going to walk the whole Appalachian trail. No, it's like California down.
The Pacific.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank you. It's like been a while since I read this book.
No, you're good.
But she decided to do this and she allowed herself to heal from so much loss and trauma and abuse and drug addiction. And it was very immersive for her and healing. And nature can provide that for so many people. I mean, there's so many books and memoirs and movies and all kinds of things about this. It's just all about that, like personal growth and self-discovery. And whatever that looks like. That's a very extreme situation going into like Wild. Cheryl was her first name. I know I should remember this better, but it was amazing. Like just watching her journey on that.
I mean, those ones are the best ones. Yeah, I was just thinking of all the people that have like John Muir from Yosemite. Like,
oh,
he was a famous guy that always do the quotes from there. Like, there's so many things and quotes of people being like, nature heals my soul. And it really does. Like, nature is a big healing one. The last one that I thought was really cool that I had gotten was the forest bathing. It's a Japanese practice called Shinryoku. I don't know if I said that right, but that's what it looks like, which involves immersing oneself in the sights, sounds, and smells of the forest to promote relaxation and well-being. Japanese culture has a ton of this, especially like I had mentioned before, in their religious practices and stuff. Like, this is a big thing for them. And I love that, because it's like, yes, nature does so much to heal the soul and the mind. It's a connection to the world. It's a better understanding of, you know, this is why we're here and we have a purpose to it. So
yeah, super cool.
Love that. Yeah. I think it's really cool that nature therapy has been a big thing for benefit of people. So
yeah, basically it's just a good reminder to get outside. Like, it's so good for your overall mental and physical health. Like,
the weather's getting nicer, people. Let's go.
Yay. I know, I've definitely been outside more.
Yeah.
Since the weather has shifted, but
makes me happy.
So, all right. Hopefully this is your good reminder for you guys to get outside. We hope you enjoyed our episode. Don't forget to find us on social media through Haunted Counseling and on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the word and hit the like button. Thank you.